Jessica Hyde.
All right. What's up, everybody? Wow, got a bunch of people here already. All right. Sorry for the wait, guys. 7 minutes late to my own party. But we're here. We're rolling. All right. What's up, everyone? Jake, what's up? Chris and Mandy, what's going on? Kenny, Greg, Dustin, Jenna. How's everybody doing out there? All right. Coming at you live from the Andes of Ecuador. All righty, 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 righty. So, April, she, Victor of Storms, what's up? Here we go. We're doing it. Handlebar Mustachio, kicking it in the Redwood Coast of Northern California. I know what you guys do up there. I know what you guys do up there on the Northern Coast of California. Those are my former stomping grounds. All right, how's the audio, guys? How's the audio? We got good? You got good audio? We got good video? Let me know if my mic is too loud. I don't think there's a delay. We should be good. Let's get this rolling, everyone. Okay. All right. So, what's going on, guys? You want me to turn the mic up? You're going to have to turn your... You have to turn your volume up on your device there. People are saying the audio is good. If I turn my mic up, it's going to be oversaturated and it's going to tin out. It'll give that tinny sound. We don't want any of that. I can give it a little bit of a little bit closer here. Could be louder, they say. All right, I'll go a little bit louder. There you go. That's as loud as I'm going to put it. I don't want to do it too loud. Sometimes it was way too loud. All right, guys. Dude, so Bill Nye wants to tax cow's farts. Taxing cow farts. We're back. We're back talking about cow fart taxes. I remember this was going down in 2008 when we left the States. Or no, 2010 we left the States. I remember seeing this talk back in 2008. It was getting quite intense. Talk about carbon taxes. We got to tax all the useless ETAs out there. So let's take a look at this. Let's do a little bit of analysis on Mr. Bill Nye, the science guy's call for a fight on against the evil climate change, a.k.a. human population growth, with a tax on cow flatulence. All right, so Bill Nye, the science guy, who got an engineering degree, and calls himself the science guy now. He is essentially an actor. So this guy gets paid to go on television and push whatever agenda he tends to be, whatever agenda he happens to be whoring for at the time. You throw some shekels down on the table, Bill Nye will take those dollars in his hand, he will gladly suckle upon them mammaries of mammon, and spit out whatever you want him to tell you. So Bill Nye, the pretend scientist who gets up on TV and smiles and acts all nice, is now pushing full-on carbon tax genocide. Well, this is not just a carbon tax. He's talking about methane and carbon taxes. So, you know, I mean, logically, if we were to think about this, if you are to buy into the bullshit assumption that cows farts and animals farts and people fart and you exhaling and your children exhaling is destroying the planet. If you are to buy into this new bastardized religion, this bastardized religious version of so-called original sin, the new original sin being just being human, right? Just being human. Us useless eaters are destroying the planet. We get told this in our schools. Our children get taught this in elementary school, that we get brainwashed with this Malthusian paradigm that we are just bad for the planet. Every time you fart, you're making the globe a little bit hotter and a little bit hotter. Now, on the last stream, we got deep into who's actually funding a lot of this vegan propaganda. So Bill Nye, who has gone on television and said that a plant-based vegan diet is the future. Bill Nye, who's gotten on television and said many contradictory things that actually contradicts what he actually said in the early 90s on his television show, is now pushing for carbon taxes publicly. So let's check out this article from the propaganda news outlet, The Washington Times. All right, television science guy Bill Nye has a suggestion for combating climate change. Impose a tax on cow flatulence. Now, mind you, this proposal is not something that Bill Nye has come out with, right? Like, Bill Nye is a front man, right? He's the face of fake science on TV. He's the face of scientism on the television. Now, we've been told that global warming, a new ice age, global cooling, we're being given this new catastrophe, apocalyptic vision. This new apocalyptic eschatology that's being taught to us and our kids in school, it's all about the ecological apocalypse, right? Cow farts are destroying the planet. Every time your child exhales, it's creating carbon dioxide, which is heating up the planet and destroying all life in general. This has been pushed for several decades now, and this all kind of stems from specific strains of thought that come out of the Royal Society. Guys like Malthus in the late 1700s were proposing theories of population growth exceeding our natural resource availability. Now, of course, there are loads of assumptions built into these. And a lot of most of this, the population growth myth, the overpopulation myth, is actually, it actually stems from completely illegitimate science. I'm drinking carbonated water, and it's giving me quite the burps right now. They put a bunch of fruit flies in a jar and gave it a limited amount of food. The fruit flies would multiply and reproduce until they ran out of food in the jar. Therefore, human populations will behave the same way on this planet, on the Earth. That is the science behind the population bomb. We've been told about this through groups like the Club of Rome. There were papers coming out like the Club of Rome's first global revolution. I highly suggest anybody interested in furthering their knowledge on this stuff and kind of taking the scholarly route, definitely check out the Club of Rome document, The First Global Revolution. But this way of thinking, this ideology has been thrown out there for a long time. This apocalyptic ideology has been proven wrong so many different times. We were told back in the 1790s that by the time it was by the 1900s, the population would have vastly outstretched our ability to feed the population, and that we would just be piles of bodies and corpses. Of course, this didn't happen. This is not true. It's historically been used as a fear mechanism to justify the control of resources and the control of breeding. Now, Malthus's ideas were actually adopted and used to justify the early eugenic society movements in the United States. And now it's being used in a similar vein by the same people that were funding the early eugenics movement in order to further this very same agenda and restrict our ability to eat the foods that we choose to eat the foods that keep us healthy and that keep us alive. So we are told that our farts are destroying the planet and that we shouldn't be eating meat because it's bad, 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 bad. So let's check out this bullshit article. Mr. Nye, who hosts the Netflix series Bill Nye Saves the World. You see this dumbed-down propaganda that these people give us? Like, they really think we're this dumb. Bill Nye Saves the World. What's so sad about this, what's so amazing to me about this isn't even targeting, this isn't targeting five-year-old children, right? This guy, Bill Nye, has been following our generation around, the so-called millennials, which I'm like a late-stage millennial. I'm 31 years old. I guess technically considered a millennial since I grew up with the internet. They've been targeting my generation with this slimy sleazeball fake scientist as a mouthpiece for a long time. And how funny, now they're giving him a Netflix show, and it's called Bill Nye Saves the World. Because as we all know, science will save the world, make you live forever, and solve all of the problems of humanity. Right? And I'm not talking about, I'm being facetious, obviously. I'm talking about scientism. I'm not talking about real science. The scientific method, the method of exploration of the physical reality, of quantifying data, of coming up with hypotheses and testing these hypotheses. I'm talking about scientism. The religion thrown out there that even has its own eschatology, its own false end times narrative, which is the ecological apocalypse, which is being told to us all the time. Bill Nye gets his own I'm Going to Save the World Netflix show. So here we go. So if you're raising livestock and producing a lot of carbon dioxide with your farm equipment and the exhaust from the animals, then you would pay a fee on that, and it would be reflected in the price of meat, reflected in the price of fish, reflected in the price of peanuts. He called it a, quote, free market way to reckon with the real cost of a meat diet to the world. What a ridiculous statement. All right. So Bill Nye is saying the same shit that the IMF, the World Bank, the United Nations, Al Gore, these big bankers have been saying for so long. This is essentially a way to impose a worldwide tax on every single thing you do, eat, or say. You are being treated like livestock, and even your livestock are going to be taxed now. How crazy is this? So further pushing of the starvation agenda on the populace, pushing austerity on us through policy and through force. All right, so let's see. Blah, blah, blah. Mr. Nye said his policy prescription, as if he came up with this, right? We heard Al Gore talking about this about 10 years ago, back in 2000, whatever, when he was telling us his version of this ridiculous ideology. So now, Mr. Nye said his policy prescription would apply only to the developed world, given that in developing countries, you need protein and your agriculture may not be sophisticated enough to provide you the protein. So we'll see. I don't want to get in the business of judging people who aren't vegetarian. Oh, all right. Okay. So then it goes on to characterize anybody who doesn't want their children's fart to be taxed as so-called conservatives. Right, so it's about branding people. You're gonna name somebody, you call names. You're a conservative. You're an extremist if you don't want to tax all animal protein in the developed world. Now, why is it so important to tax the developed world? Why are they so concerned with curbing the population in the developed world? Also, they talk about the developing world, but as we all know, the developed world, so-called developed. By developed, they mean consolidated resources already exist within the developed world, right? So it's not about taxing the third world. It's about taxing people in like the U.S. and Europe, where the food supply for the most part, the food supply in the United States has already been consolidated by these massive corporations like Monsanto, Cargill. These corporations have consolidated our food supply and depopulated rural areas already of small sustenance family farms. So people can't make a living anymore just having a small farm, growing organic food, which a few decades ago, what we called food was all organic. All food was organic food back then. You need protein. Your agriculture may not be sophisticated enough to provide you the protein. So we'll see. We don't want to get in the business of judging people who aren't vegetarians. So, Mr. Bill Nye. How interesting, right? All right, let's see. Here's Bill Nye in 2015 talking about a carbon fee on the HuffPost Live. Let's see what he's got to say here.
Another fan that I want to bring in who wants to join you live. This is Mike Skillen. Hey, Mike.
Mike.
Great. Hey, how you doing?
Great.
All right, let's see.
Penalties or like when I lived in the UK, they have a congestion tax for drivers that go into central London. Do you think these ideas could work in the United States?
Well, they could work. We have these extraordinary laws called the Clean Water Act and the Clean Air Act, which were created largely by conservatives. The Environmental Protection Agency was conceived by the Nixon administration.
Right.
And yes, you could have a fee. Now, we jokingly don't ever want to ever use the word tax. Taxes, we're all going to die. Okay, we would have a fee on carbon dioxide production. And this is our dream on the progressive side of this, on the climate change concern side. If you had a fee on carbon, people would be motivated to produce less carbon dioxide. And then it would stimulate investment in lower carbon producing transportation systems, agriculture.
All right, so 2015, Bill Nye over here talking about carbon taxes. Carbon taxes. What's up, guys? You guys can't hear me? I'm stuttering. That sucks. All right. Memorize visions. Am I okay now, guys? How is it? Everybody says my quality sucks. Well, that sucks. What's going on here? It says my stream status is good. I shouldn't have a stutter. My stream status is supposedly good, guys. Dang. No, don't use... Please don't use internet. All right. Well... Let's keep on going.
No one says, you know what? It's going to be great. You know, I mean, people need to wake up and realize that every single scientific mind in the world. World basically says, hey, you know what? We might be in trouble.
Bill, are you hopeful? Because you're our last hope here.
I'm always optimistic. If you're not optimistic, you're not going to take action and get things done. But I say it's going to be a close call, and this is not an extraordinary claim. It's going to be a tough nut to crack. Mm-hmm. So what we want to do is have a fee for carbon dioxide production, and then we will return the fee to the people.
Power to the people.
Because...
So I didn't know Bill was a communist. Yeah.
Well,
had I known that before I invited him on the show.
But here's the trouble.
I can hear Ted Cruz right now.
So, Ted, here's the trouble. Where's the model for this? Collect using wealth from the public and redistributing it to the people.
Well, I don't know. Don't they call that socialism?
Yeah, and where is it in the United States? Alaska. Alaska.
Meant you might want to have more babies, but it's per year. And this is the... It's called... What it is
this
now,
year it's a
Alaska.
Oh, that's right.
So every family gets it's like $1,000 per. I don't know what it is
this
now.
This year it's $1,800.
Yeah, in her day it was $1,000 per member of the family, which also meant you might want to have more babies. But it's per year, and this is the. It's called it. It's a tax, a negative tax rate for their oil profits
Alaska
that they make.
Production fund. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
So we could do this, and this would provide economic incentives, which I think is the key. To getting her done.
To keep it in the capitalist motivated.
Well, not just that. So people who make a lot of carbon dioxide, these would be rich people who live high on the hog, as David Attenborough described it, where the meat is strong and properly marbled. And then the middle class would get the money back. Oil companies, fossil fuel companies already have this built in. They're anticipating a $40 a ton surcharge. That's in their economic modeling. It's cool. We could, if we did this, and then the countries that don't produce as much carbon dioxide would have a tariff or a fee on the goods that were being imported that had a high carbon output. This is...
Okay. So he's essentially talking about a worldwide tax. It's going to be levied via the International Monetary Fund, the IMF, the Bank of International Settlements, these international banks that are supra-governmental. That get to print money as they choose, that are above governments. This is a massive overhaul of the world economy under the guise of saving the planet. And this includes forcing people to stop eating meat, forcing us into an austerity lifestyle. But of course, it's for the greater good, right? And Bill Nye, the science guy, is going to change the world. He's going to save the world, right? They give him a Netflix show. Bill Nye saves the world. So this is just madness to me.
This is not everything's going to be fine. It is part of the solution.
So Bill for President's Economic Advisor. That's what you're...
Well, yeah. This is not an extraordinary claim. It's not really my idea.
No, it makes sense.
You're but I got to say, it's from a libertarian point of view.
This.
It's from a libertarian point of view. It's so funny. Constantly, Vinnie Mae throwing $5 at me, throwing mammons at me for no reason. Thanks, Vinnie Mae. So there you go. Bill Nye the Science Guy. We need carbon taxes. Too many people are having babies. This is just madness. Let's check out. Let's look at what Bill Nye the Science Guy was doing in the 1990s. Check out Mr. Bill Nye over here in the 1990s. Let's see what he had to say about gender in the 1990s. Trigger warning, guys. There might be hate speech in this video that we're about to watch.
I'm a girl. Could have just as easily been a boy, though, because the probability of becoming a girl is always 1 in 2. See, inside each of our cells are these things called chromosomes, and they control whether we become a boy or a girl. Your mom has 2X chromosomes in all of her cells, and your dad has 1X and 1Y chromosome in each of his cells. Before you're born, your mom gives you one of her chromosomes and your dad gives you one of his. Mom always gives you an X. And if dad gives you an X too, then you become a girl. But if he gives you his Y, then you become a boy. See, there are only 2 possibilities. XX. The chance of becoming either a boy or a girl is always 1 in 2. A 50-50 chance either way. It's like flipping a coin. Mm-hmm. X, you're a girl. Y, you're a boy. Some people are just lucky, I guess.
All right, there's Bill Nye in the 90s. Talking about gender. Sorry, guys. I don't know if that qualified as hate speech. It was the 1990s. It was a different time, guys. But let's look at Bill Nye now on gender. Because, you know, I mean, science is objective. Science is what is objective and measurable, right? That's the scientific method gives us an objective look at reality. Correct? But let's just see how this objective reality has changed in about 20 years. Bill Nye, now.
Clear about sexuality. One thing's clear about sexuality. There's a lot more going on than meets the eye. Female or male, gay or straight, pink or blue. We were taught to see these as binary. Now we're realizing it's more like a kaleidoscope. And this stuff isn't just for adults. Parents know this already. Kids
parents know it
gender,
too, guys.
Expression, attraction before they've ever heard of a spectrum. Take sex. We used to think it was pretty straightforward. X and a Y chromosome for males, 2Xs for females. But we see more combinations than that in real life. And
what?
Even for people with just 2 sex chromosomes, hormones can vary wildly. So can anatomy. What makes someone male or female? This is so clear cut. How about attraction? Some people argue the natural thing is to only be attracted to the opposite sex. But in practice, it ain't so simple, kids. Some people are gay, some are bi, some are asexual, and some will take whatever they can get. You know what I mean? It's another sexy sliding scale. When you throw in gender, it gets even more colorful. By 3 or 4, most kids identify with a gender, and it doesn't always match the sex they were assigned at birth. And a person's gender identity may change over their lifetime. And culture is getting us new ways to express all of this. How you dress, how you act, talk, how you present yourself to the world. It should be up to you. Sure, this might make things confusing for those who insist everyone pick an M or an F. But people, we have to listen to the science. And the science says we're all on a spectrum. Our labels, our fashion.
On a spectrum. Yeah, man. If you watch enough Bill Nye the Science Guy, we'll all be on the spectrum. Not the spectrum of gender, though. The autism spectrum. This is so ridiculous. All right, so there you go. Bill Nye, 20 years later, dropping that science. Dropping some science truth bombs, guys. I can't believe that people still take this guy seriously, I mean, it's this is absurd. So there you go, Bill Nye talking about. There you go. Oh, here we go. PETA, using science, obviously. Bill Nye predicts a vegan future. In a recent Ask Me Anything session on Reddit, the past met the future with a nostalgia-inducing celebrity scientist. Oh, man. How many scientific papers has Bill Nye actually published? How much scientific research has he been involved in? Okay, so he predicted where the food industry was headed. Wow! He's like Nostradamus, guys! Predicted where the food industry was headed, and we couldn't agree more, says PETA. It turns out there's just too much evidence for a scientist or anyone else to ignore it when it comes to the devastating effects of animal agriculture on the planet. When one user asked Nye, what are your thoughts on animal agriculture and the promotion of a vegan diet so as to reduce our impact on climate change? This was his reply. Plant-based diets are the future, says Bill Nye. All right. I look forward to food preparations that are not derivative bits, so as we say in comedy writing. Oh, because he's such a great comedian. You guys saw his cheeky joke last time. Some dudes take whatever they can get. As he's on a show that seems like it's supposed to be for, what, 5 to 10-year-olds? Talking about sexual practices and just weird stuff, right? All right, so I look forward to food preparations that are not derivative bits, as we say in comedy writing. Instead of coconut bacon, for example, I hope there are just delicious standalone coconut preparations. Cooking is a competitive business. I look forward to the emergence of new plant-based dishes. Come on. So plant-based, right? Plant-based is this keyword that actually gets used. It's not vegan. Plant-based is a mostly plant-based diet. So you're eating mostly durable food, and maybe every once in a while when your social credit score is really high, like if you've been liking the right things on Facebook and if YouTube tracks that you've watched the right videos and you didn't like any of those naughty, those really naughty, unsanctioned fake news channels like you're seeing here at Primal Edge Health. If you're good and you don't click like on videos like this and watch videos like this, you might get a good meat ration every once in a while. Maybe once a month you'll be able to eat meat. The plant-based diet of the future is proposed by people like Bill Nye. So, there you go. PETA, extremist organization promoting Mr. Bill Nye. Washington Times. Okay. Ad blocker disabled. Let's see. So, here you go. The Washington Times. Oh, we already saw this article. Oh, here's an article from the Council on Foreign Relations. The Council on Foreign Relations, which actually comes out of the British Royal Society, the Royal Institute for International Affairs. This is the American think tank. The Council on Foreign Relations. Would a carbon tax spur innovation? This is 2010. Just talking about carbon taxes, right? We all know that carbon dioxide's real bad, right? You understand what carbon dioxide is, right? Carbon dioxide is what happens when you exhale. Carbon dioxide is what plants breathe. Carbon dioxide is what comes out of your child's mouth when they gasp for life. Carbon dioxide, carbon. Imposing a carbon tax is essentially taxing every single piece of physical life on this planet. And these people, like Bill Nye, and like the same people that are behind this plant-based propaganda, are pushing for legal limitations, legal force being used to take away valuable food sources, the most essential food sources for human beings. Carbon pricing becomes a cause for the World Bank and IMF. So there you go. You got John Kerry. What's he saying? There's no audio on that one. John Kerry talking about how we got to pay carbon taxes to the World Bank and the IMF. The leaders of the World Bank, IMF, and other major global institutions say cutting emissions enough to stave off the worst effects of climate change. The new term, right? Climate change. Because climate's never supposed to change. Nothing is supposed to change, right? Climate's not supposed to change. All right. So there you go, guys. Bill Nye pushing for that. Here's Bill Nye again. I don't even want to play this one. This one's way too much. Pricing carbon. Here's the worldbank.org. Why price carbon? Why price carbon? Climate change is one of the greatest... Wait, where'd it go? Why price carbon? Climate change is one of the greatest global challenges of our time. It threatens to roll back decades of development progress and put lives, livelihoods, and economic growth at risk. Today, the science is unequivocal. So it's like you throw out words like that. Well, the science is in. Every scientist believes this. Everybody who's smart believes this. They basically gaslight people into jumping on the bandwagon and believing this nonsense. But there you go. Intergovernmental panel on climate change talking about carbon taxes. So if we just make everything more expensive and make everybody more poor and take away people's ability to feed themselves, feed their family, and grow healthy, happy bodies, we could reduce the population. Because the greatest threat to the world is the population growth, as the princes and royals like to say. So this is why, like we talked about last week, or two days ago? We talked about 2 days ago. Hugh Liu says, don't play that video you have queued up. I won't play it. It's too much. I couldn't even laugh at it. But this is why you see Saudi princes and Saudi royals joining with the British royals to push ideas like carbon taxes to fund licensing of lab-grown meat. Licensing of lab-grown meat and artificially created foods, and billions of dollars are being pushed into this, and we're being told that it's green and it's hip and it's cool and it's MTV and it's like super awesome, and Miley Cyrus has a giant celery dildo that she's chewing on stage, and she's so awesome and amazing and a great role model for kids because she's vegan. This is the nonsense that's being pushed on us. And this is why this show is called Eat Meat and Make Babies. Because we're about eating meat and making babies. We know that people are good. We don't believe that children's farts should be taxed. And we don't believe in making the entire world poor and dependent and forcing us to pay taxes to international bankers like the IMF and the World Bank and the people behind the IMF and the World Bank. We do not believe this bullshit propaganda. And we're going to talk out against it, whether we get demonetized, deplatformed or not. All right? So, who's behind this shit? Well, you see it right here. Worldbank.org. You got the World Bank, the IMF. Talking about sustainability, right? These great words. Look, I'm all about true so-called sustainability, but these words get hijacked. Right? I'm not about factory-farmed bullshit. All this factory farming nonsense came about just over the last few decades when Monsanto and the so-called Green Revolution, funded by people like the IMF, World Bank, funded by Bill Gates, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, has empowered companies like Cargill and Monsanto to completely overhaul our entire food supply and make all of our agriculture dependent on grain. So this is one of the straw mans that gets used by the vegan community. It's like, well, most of the grain, soy, and corn get used to feed cows. So, yeah. Well, yes, that is true. Maybe most of the corn, wheat, and soy goes to feeding cows because cows are what we eat. Meat is what we eat, right? Not just cows. But they've consolidated that food supply, and the plan has always been to get us fed directly on the genetically modified, the engineered, patented, consolidated crops. And this was all laid out in the 1920s, the early 1900s, by guys like Lord Birkenhead, the Earl of Birkenhead, who talked about this way back in the day. So maybe we can get back into that article again. But rapid changes in innovations in technology have been driving financial access and inclusion. The World Bank Group is on target to achieve its commitment, reaching 1 billion new account holders. Yeah, we got to get that third world all up on those IMF World Bank loans, right, guys? Saving the world. All right.
So, you guys, seriously, this next thing I feel is very special. This is a cool little segment.
This is just for Hugh Liu. This one's just for you, my friend.
You know this woman from Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. Please give it up for Rachel Bloom.
This world of ours
is full of choice. But must I choose between only John or Joyce? All my options only, hard or moist. My vagina has its own voice. Not vocal cords, a metaphorical voice. Sometimes I do a voice for my vagina. Please don't tell me I'm the only one who does that. Cause my sex junk is so much more than either power bottom or a top off. Versatile love may have some butt stuff. It's evolution, ain't nothing new. There's nothing taboo about sex too. Just add salt or Gerard Depardieu. French treasure. Cause my sex junk is so much more than either.
Okay. All right, that's too much. I'm sorry. That was just for Hugh Liu. So there you go. That's Bill Nye saving the world with just some real wholesome family entertainment there for the kids, talking about how butt stuff is normal for the kids. This is Bill Nye. This is the stuff our kids are getting pushed. This is the stuff being pushed on our kids, rather. Pretty cool, right? Pretty cool. All right. Wow. Okay, guys. So there you go. Bill Nye the Science Guy. Bill Nye the actor. Bill Nye the actor talking about how we need to tax everybody for the IMF and World Bank, because the World Bank and the international banks are going to save us, guys. They're going to save us from the evil cow farts. All right. All right, let's move on. What's up, everybody? So we had some people talking in the... somebody mentioned, one of the first comments up there was, I can't sleep. I'm here because I can't sleep. Well, if you can't sleep, one of the first things you want to do is... make sure that your light exposure is on point. So if we're being exposed to artificial blue light at night, like me staring at the computer doing this live stream, I'm not going to fall asleep, right? This will be disruptive to a circadian rhythm. So first of all, if you can't sleep, get off of YouTube, right? Get off Facebook, get off social media. Step one to getting better sleep. Another thing you might want to look into is getting more natural light during the day, right? So not only do we get told that exhaling is bad, that the original sin of being human, makes our farts evil and we're destroying the planet. You also get told that the source of biological energy on this planet, the light from the sun, is deadly. You're told to avoid it. Get out there in that sun. Get out there in the sun. So as far as like blocking blue light at night, some people use blue blocker glasses. I like to use a program called, what's this one called? This one's called Iris. I use a program called Iris. Now, Iris is awesome. It's like a step up from Flux, and it takes the blue light out of the screen, and you can actually adjust, you can change the flicker rate as well. It'll actually de-weaponize the flicker rate, so it's not so hypnotic, not so intense on your eyes. So look into the program called Iris. I think it's like iris.tech, but if you look up Iris... Iris program, Iris blue light. You'll be able to find this. I think it's iris.tech or iris.co. But anyways, getting proper sleep, super, super important, guys. If you work indoors, you work under artificial light all day, a couple 10-minute walks throughout the day, just, this is something I've been telling clients for a long time, and it's so, so helpful. If you work in an office, take a 10, go for a walk around the building outside. Take your glasses off, get the sun on your eyes. Go walk around the parking lot, walk across the street to a park, sit under a tree or something for a few minutes. Get some natural light on the skin and on the eyes. If you can open up a window, open up that dang window as often as you can. Get outside, natural light as much as you can. Avoid artificial light at night. That's step one to getting a proper circadian rhythm, getting sleep. Also, avoiding eating food late at night, really, really helpful too. So yeah, a lot of people think that, you know, eating dinner late at night will help you crash out. You get a big dinner, you get real tired. Well, that might be true, that you get that big insulin spike, your blood sugar drops, and you feel shitty after a meal if you're eating a bunch of carbs and stuff like that. But eating late at night is not helpful for sleep. Not helpful for fat loss either. So you want to actually skew your caloric intake to earlier in the evening if you are eating dinner. And I usually recommend people eat at least 4 hours before you go to bed, because it takes about 4 hours to empty the stomach out. And we've got to make all sorts of digestive juices, gender binary digestive juices. You got to make those things in order to digest the food. So don't eat late at night. Someone said magnesium is amazing too. Totally. Magnesium's great. If you're doing a ketogenic diet, you should probably be using magnesium anyways. Most of our food supply is depleted of magnesium because of the fake green revolution that has consolidated the food supply, bastardized the foods that we're eating, and created a factory farming system that feeds us Soylent Slap and is now currently working on making us unable to afford or eat meat. And this program will be pushed rapidly. It's already moved forward quite a bit since we left the United States in 2010. We've seen an astronomical increase in anti-meat propaganda, in the justification for international taxes, right? You're talking about international bankers taxing every single country in the world. Right? Pretty crazy. Do you have clients with tinnitus who are doing keto? Tinnitus. I mean, do you have a traumatic brain injury or something, synapse? Tinnitus is something that really doesn't, I mean, there's no contraindication between keto and tinnitus, but it would be interesting to see how neurologically, if you've got a traumatic brain injury, if your tinnitus would be affected by a ketogenic diet, because keto has been shown to be incredibly powerful. Ketones have been shown to be really, really powerful for traumatic brain injury, for balancing blood glucose levels, and thus the brain glucose levels, and for improving GABA production in the brain. I'd be very, very interested to see if keto would help with your tinnitus situation. But, you know, I mean, we could have tinnitus for various reasons. Good question there. My goal is to get a job working outside, says Paul. You know what? People who work outside, people who work with their hands, tend to be much more enjoyable to be around than people who work inside on computers. I gotta say it. You know, I mean, what was that old Genesis song? It's like, I'd rather trust a country man than a town man. You could tell, how did that song go? I'd rather trust a country man than a town man. You could tell how he is by the look of his hands or something like that. There's some truth to that song, Peter Gabriel Genesis back in the day. But, yeah, I mean, there's just something about working outside, being outside. It's not like this magical, mystical thing. It's just like that's what we are meant to do, right? We are meant to be outside under the beautiful sun, in the beautiful natural environment, the beautiful natural world. We're meant to be there. We're not meant to be stuck inside of offices all day under artificial light. Unfortunately, a lot of us have to work on computers. Like, I'm spending all kinds of time on a computer. It took me hours to get this live stream set up today and to figure out how to do this correctly. And then I still had problems with the stream early on, but it seems like it's good now. But, you know, I mean, just getting outside, really, really, really good for us. And working outside definitely seems to reduce your risk of obesity. People who work outside in the sun have less skin cancer. How about that? How interesting is that? People who work outside, people exposed to lots of sun who work outside have far less rates, far lower rates of melanoma. Yet you're told to avoid the sun. Just like cholesterol. So, heart attacks. People who have heart attacks, just as many people who have heart attacks, show no signs of atherosclerosis, show no signs of so-called high cholesterol. Rather, not atherosclerosis, but just as many people who have heart attacks do not have high cholesterol before their heart attack. But even if you do buy into the BS baloney that cholesterol causes heart attacks, guess what? Here's an interesting tidbit. People who do have heart attacks, those who have high cholesterol have much higher survival rates. All centenarians have high cholesterol. You look at the oldest woman in the world, what does she eat? Bacon and eggs. No vegetables. Now, of course, anecdotal evidence, but the first point I made about people who have heart attacks, those who do have heart attacks, who got high cholesterol, survive more. Why are we suppressing cholesterol? Why? 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 Pretty crazy, right? All right. Greg Valentine up above. What's up? Hey, Will. What's up, dude? Will over in Cape Cod. You know, I was thinking about you guys the other day, Will. I put the air gap RPM intake on there, man. I ripped off that performer intake, and I put a new intake manifold. I was thinking about you. I was laughing because I put the wrong gasket on. I put a Felpro 1204 and I needed a 1205. And so, yeah, shout out to Will Warburton, his lovely family, his beautiful wife, and their amazing son. Will is up there, not buying into the bullshit. He's up there eating meat and making babies in the Cape Cod area. And he knows his way around a car, and he worked with his hands his whole life, so he's much easier to talk to than some of these people who are sitting around watching TV all dang day. All right, so how could I get more involved with helping people? I want to have a job that helps humans and civilization as a whole. I don't know what field I should go in. Any thoughts? William Cobb, how old are you, man? And it's like, what are you into? Right? Like, I had no idea that this is what I would be doing. When I went to university, I studied history. I was fascinated with history. It was my way of being able to kind of direct my own studies and study whatever I wanted within the realms of history. I studied 20th century history with a focus mostly on propaganda and on social engineering topics and stuff like that. And here I am. I ended up actually helping people in the health and fitness and wellness world. So, you know, I mean, life takes you on all kinds of wild journeys. So you've been in 10 years in the military. You're 28. You know, so when you get out, you do have the option to further your education. Will education further your life goals? That's the question. You know, I mean, what could you do to help humanity? I mean, it starts inside, doesn't it? You know, I mean, it doesn't. Like, I can't help anyone if I'm just, you know, full of shit, right? If I'm full of illusions, trying to uphold this false image of myself, trying to, you know, worship all these idols and bow down to mammon and chasing dollars and, you know, whoring for big pharma and big agriculture, like Bill Nye, the science guy, actor on television. Or like plant-based news interviewing Saudi princes, trillionaires, promoting austerity, depopulation, diets. I mean, it's like, it starts on the inside, right? So it's like, I think first of all, having a healthy worldview is really important. Believing in what you're doing is very important. And, you know, just moving forward, right? Like, I mean, whatever you're into, grab onto it, get good at it, and go for it. You're 28 years old. You think that might be like old or something. You are not old, my friend. You are not old. 28 years young. You got your whole life ahead of you. Find what you love. You don't even have to be good at it. Latch onto it and work your ass off until you become good at it. Big Mike says, Owsley Stanley 8-0 car for 53 years. That is true. Owsley. The infamous Owsley Stanley. Zero carb diet, 53 years. Died at 80, rather, in a car accident. You said off-road vehicle accident in the Outback. I didn't know it was an off-road vehicle accident. That sucks. At least he was having a damn good time. Owsley seemed like a real interesting guy. I know quite a few people used to hang out with Owsley back in the day, and damn, I would have loved to talk to that guy and ask him some questions, not just about diet, but about everything that was going on back then. He was right in the center of a lot of this stuff that was going on with the whole thing going on back then. But yeah, Owsley did not die of throat cancer. He had throat cancer, and he actually attributed his zero-carb diet to the, I guess, I don't know if it was remission, but it didn't spread, right? So he said he got throat cancer. He blamed it just like Michael Douglas. He blamed it on too much vagina in the mouth. He blamed it on, you know, like the HPV type thing. And who knows if that's true. I don't know. But Big Mike said, I'd like to ask him questions about mind control. Exactly. That's what I asked him questions. Where'd you get the acid? Who told you how to make it? Who gave you the precursors? yeah. Owsley, fascinating guy. That whole time period, fascinating. I'm pretty well versed in that whole thing. That was a kind of a specialty of mine after when I was in studying university and studied that subculture a lot, and the ins and outs, the links to the intelligence community, and why things fleshed out as they did. But Owsley seemed like a really interesting guy right in the middle of a lot of these things. Who knows what he was really all about? Will Warburton says, we're doing great. Hope you guys are also. Don't want to completely derail your talk, but did the intake make a big performance difference? Yeah, dude. So after I put that new intake on and I got that upgraded from the Edelbrock performer to the RPM air gap. And I also, I changed my camshaft just because, like, you know, I got kids, you know, just for my kids. I had to put a new camshaft in there. After I already had put changed the camshaft and built the engine, I wanted one step up. So I did one step up on the camshaft, and I also put 1.6 roller rockers. So it'll pull right through 5,700, 5,800 RPM now. I think it dies out about 5,750. So I'll set my rev limiter there. And it's got quite a bit of power. It will spin wheels like crazy, and those wheels are 33 inches. So to spin those wheels is a lot, and it's a big truck. So now I'm ironing out the carb and fixing that up. Big Mike, he had a stint at St. Elizabeth's Hospital when he was 16. Interesting, huh? All right. William Kopp. All right, Mr. Logical, L-A-W, Logical. Says, love your work, love your videos. Keto for over 3 months now and loving it. Thanks for all your info. Right on, man. Hope LKM says, if you dig into the Saudi family, you might be surprised. They're worse than they seem. Yeah, that. So Prince Khalid, the guy that was on that plant-based news site that was shown, that was promoting the so-called vegan diet. Obviously, that guy's not really a vegan. Like, I don't believe for 1 minute. I can't prove it, but I don't believe for 1 minute that dude's really vegan. He was talking about the reason he's doing it. He's like, I like to shift other people's greed. I do not believe people are inherently bad, but people are greedy, and I will shift their greed in a different direction. So essentially, and he was saying that his family's into the lab-grown meat, artificial meat, and all that kind of stuff. When you look into his father, he's involved in all kinds of crazy stuff. And his ex-wife publicly claimed that a lot of those people were involved in child trafficking and human trafficking, which is, you know, well-known in many circles that these Saudi royals are total degenerates. But they're saving the world, and they're funding Dr. Greger and plant-based news, and they're going to help us to tax your farts through the IMF and the World Bank. So they must be good because they're philanthropists, right? Like I said the other day, when you reach Bond villain levels of misanthropy and psychopathy, you get to be called a philanthropist on Wikipedia. And you get to own 3% share of Twitter as well, like Khalid's papa does. Does keto affect thyroid? And if it does, why is that? No, keto does not affect thyroid. Carbohydrates are not required for thyroid production. However, metabolism does slow down when you're not eating so much food, right? And not every single person needs the same amount of thyroid hormone. Not every single person needs the same amount of every single hormone in their body. There's so many assumptions built into all this testing, there's so many assumptions built into it. We have no idea what proper levels of these hormones are in specific contexts like high carbohydrate diet versus low carbohydrate diet. But it is known that iodine is required for thyroid hormone output, although carbohydrates are not required for thyroid. So however much people like to fearmonger about things like that and use it as an excuse why you need carb ups or you need this or that, it doesn't affect thyroid hormone output. In fact, you know what's interesting? My family has got kind of a history of hypothyroid. But I've got no symptoms, no signs. My thyroid hormone output is perfectly normal on a low-carb ketogenic diet for 5 years. Synapse says, what do you think about resting heart rate in keto? Mine was 60 a minute before keto. Now it's 80 a minute after keto. It's been like this for 9 months. I think my mineral intake is okay. Yeah, I don't know, man. My resting heart rate didn't change at all on keto. My blood pressure's perfect, too. So Dustin says he had the opposite happen for him. He has 55 to 60 resting heart rate overnight while sleeping. Well, that's interesting. Yeah, like I said, guys, I mean, you're going to see different responses from different folks in different situations. If you are low on magnesium, sodium, and potassium, your heart must pump harder. I would say the first thing you might want to try, if your heart rate went up, you better make sure you're getting enough electrolytes. Make sure you're getting enough sodium. So a really good book from this guy, Dr. Nicol Antonio, about salt intake, another thing that's been demonized. Salt intake is very, very important on keto. If you don't get enough salt, We have to maintain a narrow bandwidth of sodium and electrolytes in our blood. And if we don't get enough salt dietarily, what will happen is our body's got to fix those blood salt levels. So instead of creating salt, which it can't do endogenously, if we don't get enough salt exogenously, the body is going to decrease the fluid levels in your blood, meaning it's going to pull out water from your blood, and it's going to deposit that water in other parts of the body, or you're going to piss it out in order to maintain that sodium level. So your blood volume will decrease, meaning your heart rate will have to increase. Your heart's going to have to work harder to pump that blood. So make sure you're getting enough sodium. Rob V says, in honor of Caltax, I'm ordering some grass-fed beef tallow. Yeah. No, I mean, look, there needs to be pushback, guys. Right? You're fetid. You don't want me to talk about these things. You want to be all PC and hide under a freaking rock and bury your head in the sand. That's not going to help. Right? We have to push back. We have to call these things out for what they are. We have to inform ourselves of what is really happening in the world and what these agendas are really moving us towards. Because to some of us, it's been painfully obvious for decades what these agendas are pushing us towards. And to others, it's hard to think about. And we've been programmed to not think about it. And we've even been programmed to react in a certain way to people who do talk about these topics. Right? So we've got to talk about these things. These bullshit carbon taxes, methane taxes, Bill Nye talking about taxing cow's farts, telling you that when your kids exhale, it's bad for Mother Earth. This is nonsense. This is a social engineering propaganda being used to consolidate resources and justify genocide. All right. How long does it take the body to get used to eating a certain amount of calories, meaning for it to stop losing weight? There's no magic number, man. The body will adapt to whatever situation you put it in. Body's highly adaptable. Boxa, what's up, Boxa? Listening while jumping on the trampoline. That's awesome. Wait, Boxa, is this my client? Is this a client? All right. Synapse says, I get salt pills for upping my sodium. Do the same for magnesium. However, I don't know how to up my potassium. The powder from Bolt Supplements doesn't taste good. Any ideas for potassium? Potassium citrate. Get some potassium citrate. Take like an eighth of a teaspoon, 2 to 3 times a day. Throw it in your mouth. Chase it with water. Yeah, it doesn't taste good, but get it in. You can also get potassium from foods like meat, fish, seafood, eggs. Somebody asked about getting potassium on a zero-carb diet. There's a lot of potassium in a lot of those foods, right? Quite a bit of potassium in fish, sardines, eggs, meat. I also like to eat organ meats. So what I had for dinner tonight was steak with a whole bunch of grass-fed beef liver. Ooh, Bill Nye. Bill Nye says Bill Nye's triggered. Isn't it funny how in that one video Bill Nye was talking about, it's these rich people who are doing this. They don't really mean rich people. They're talking about middle-class, normal people. When they say rich people, they're talking about normal people in Western countries. They're talking about normal people in Europe and the United States. That is the target for these taxes. That is the target for the social engineering, for all this guilt, shame, bullshit that gets pushed on you to make you malleable, dumb, full of guilt and shame just for being human, so then you can be taxed and fleeced for all your mammons. Beef heart is the bomb, says Jaja, or haha. Jaja, when people type haha in Spanish, they use a J. Porque Jota is ha. Boxa says, I am from a year ago. Always been here, just not in chat lately. Okay, cool. Yeah, there's been a few clients lately who have suggested getting up on that trampoline. Hope all's doing well, Boxa. Shoot me an email with an update. I'd love to hear how you're doing since we last talked. Tips on cooking beef liver, says Illiberalist. I find the taste to be powerful, if you know what I mean. Oh, the taste is so good, man. All right, take butter. Put a bunch of butter in a pan. Slice that beef liver really thin. Make sure you take off that outer, like, skin part. There's this almost, it almost looks like plastic saran wrap, but you could peel the skin part off of the outside of it. Do that and just throw it on a frying pan and a bunch of butter and sear it until it's perfect. Just do one piece at a time. Do it for a few minutes on each side. Maybe like 1 minute on each side. Cut it open. Make sure it's not red on the inside still. It should be like a buttery, soft, grayish brown color. Okay, and then maybe still a little bit of juice in there, but you don't want like red fleshy because then it's going to be a little bit too crunchy, and if you overcook it, it'll be too tough. So, yeah, if you want to understand, if you really want to know how to prepare liver, you got to check out Jessica's cookbook, the Ketogenic Edge Cookbook. So this book is available right now in print on our website, primaledgehealth.com. So go check out the the organ meat section, which is called the odd bits section of the Ketogenic Edge Cookbook. Illiberal artist. Axel Samba says, what do you think about Phil Escott's vegan response? Brilliant. I think Phil Escott's a good dude. You guys might have seen I did one or two podcasts with Phil, and I got to have him on again soon, especially now that I got the setup here with a decent mic and got the ability to have all sorts of cool stuff popping up on the screen. I'd love Phil to come on. We can watch some vegan propaganda videos and have a good laugh together. I thought Phil Escott's vegan response video was great. Maybe we should take a look at Phil Escott's vegan response video. Let's watch it.
Okay, vegans, you've broken me. I think I've replied enough. The other day we lost my mum. My mum was 94. And in these times you start to think about wasting time, you know? And God, the countless hours that I've wasted responding to vegans. If you find a video about how we reversed my mum's cancer on an all-meat diet, and then jump in there having heard this and say she died of cancer. No, she didn't. She died of two bouts of pneumonia and she was 94. And so it's got nothing to do with that.
All right, so let's just take a little pause and talk about, first of all, Phil's just a really good dude. He was taking care of his mom for years. They reversed her cancer with an all-meat diet. They also used cannabis extracts, which he talked about publicly, so I'm not outing him. He lives in the fascist/socialist UK, where there's no free speech anymore, and where you're not allowed to use medicines like this. But they did use cannabis, and it was really, really cool that he reversed his mom's cancer with an all-meat diet. Then his mom passed of pneumonia. She got two bouts of pneumonia, 94 years old, and she was ready to go. And then he had vegans coming and attacking him, saying, your all-meat diet killed your mom, right? So how the lovely vegans, always looking for something to confirm their bias and always looking for somebody to be cruel to, really came through there, talking shit to Phil after his mom died. How crazy is that? So let's listen to Phil's response. He actually came up with some brilliant responses to these Peter Pantheist vegans who like to parade around their religious beliefs and pretend that they're somehow compassionate or objective. All right, here we go.
It makes me think how long I've spent replying so politely, so patiently to you guys. And you can find that underneath my various vids. There's lots of conversations where I've replied. But the trouble is, I think I've been too polite. I've been too English, wasted a lot of time. When eventually it goes through the same progression, you end up very offensive and insulting. And so, if you've been linked to this, you're a vegan who's popped up on my videos somewhere that I've just given this standard response to. You're probably young. You're on your first dietary experiment. You Google for 5 minutes and watch what the health or something like that, I should think. And it's just the same old info. It's like talking to the Borg Collective out of Star Trek. You all come up with exactly the same things. Same progression every time. So just to let you know that I know exactly what's going to be posted, so not to bother, I've listed a few things here, so I am reading some notes to remind me so that I don't forget any little thing that you come up with. So this is how the conversation is going to progress if I were to be bothered to answer, which I'm not going to anymore. Humans aren't designed to eat meat because they don't have the right teeth or digestive tract. Okay, yeah, well, just Google a little bit longer on that one.
Yeah, or how about you go eat like a gorilla and see how long you live? Right, you go eat like a gorilla eats and see how long you live. Since we're just monkeys, right? We're just apes. We're just primates, so we should eat like primates. What a joke. Good job, Phil.
Sure it is, but that's the way of the world. Vegan crops are genocide and also killing the planet and making humans very sick. You argue that most of your shitty grain and soy diet that makes you ill and mentally unstable goes to feedlot animals. And, yeah, we all agree that's wrong too, making for very sick animals. So, we agree on one thing.
And just to take that one step further, I mean, that is the agenda, right? So the agenda has always been to consolidate the food supply. Now, if you watch my last live stream where we went through Lord Birkenhead's article, Lord Birkenhead of the British Royal Society, we used to hang out with the Huxleys, hang out with the Queen, all these high society British people. He actually wrote openly about a 1929 Cosmopolitan magazine and propaganda rag back in 1929, talking about how we need to consolidate the food supply and get everybody eating cellulose. We need to find a way to genetically modify bacteria to break down cellulose so that we can feed people cellulose. We need to abolish agriculture. And then the next point he makes is we need to control all breeding and have people born out of test tubes. And we need to, as the elite, control evolution of humanity by controlling all of breeding. And this is the ideology of the people that fund the vegan movement. It's the ideology of Bill Gates. People like these Saudi princes who are funding vegan plant-based news and having Dr. Greger coming over to their house and do whatever and flatter him and tell him, oh yeah, we love your diet, bro. Sure, here's $1 million. Go spread the agenda. While they're on the back end funding lab-grown meat stuff, funding companies like Cargill and Monsanto and the consolidation of food supply in order to depopulate rural areas and make everybody dependent on mass-produced junk food. Right, mass-produced junk food, McDonald's vegan food. That's the goal, to get everybody on the Soylent Green diet in the little smart cities where everything is controlled by central AI and centralized planning because it's sustainable and green and it's progressive. It's such progress. It's really, really insane. But this is how these people think.
Global warming from farting cows. Don't be silly. Vegans fart more than cows.
That is true. So I propose that Bill Nye's flatulence tax on cows also be applied to vegans, right? And the crazy part is this is what the smart cities all have planned, right? We're talking smart toilets that weigh your poop. We're talking smart refrigerators that will tell Amazon to deliver by drone your food before it's even out, and they know what you're going to buy before you even buy it. This is what these people are talking about and openly planning. We're going to get into this a little bit later. I've got some more stuff, some more study material for us to view after this, but Phil's a great dude. I want to finish Phil's points. He makes a lot of really good points here.
Farting and bloating is natural. This is something I've heard from actually on a vegan bodybuilder lady's site. She looks fantastic, but she's written a massive great long blog post on how farting and bloating is natural and how to avoid it. Steep meat. Anyway, if you don't want to, just don't come to my house or work too near a naked flame, okay? The strongest animals eat grass. Yeah, they do, and we eat them. You want the intelligence of a cow, you eat like one. You aren't a doctor. Oh, this always comes up. It's lucky because they've got one day of training in diet. There's a link below to my article of You're Not a Doctor, Who the Fuck Do You Think You Are? If you're really interested in how much study I've done, then have a look at that. Show us the studies. Don't you love that? Show us the studies. Useless epidemiological studies never done on 100% carnivores anyway, just McDonald's eaters.
Exactly. So they're extrapolating epidemiological studies, making all sorts of assumptions and whatnot. And what the vegans like to do is they like to talk about, well, a vegan diet's been shown to do all this stuff, when none of the I'm talking in broad generalities here, but most of the studies that these vegans are going to be pointing to try and confirm their bias that a vegan diet is better, are not on vegans. They're on so-called plant-based diets, and they're looking at people like in Okinawa where they eat pork. They're looking at Seventh-day Adventists who are not vegans. They're vegetarians. They still eat eggs. But these are people who are avoiding processed foods. And then they're extrapolating and they're making the assumption, the faulty claim, and snake oil sales claims like Dr. Greger likes to make, oh, it's going to cure your cancer. And then you can get a vasectomy.
Too many compounding factors. Dr. Greger says...
Whoa, Dr. Greger!
I don't know. How can you keep referring back to this dude? Just look at him. The man's a skeleton. You know, in fact, he's a cannibal consuming his own body in a desperate bid to find animal protein. He's like, I can't be really a good source of info, surely. The China study. The World Health Authority says meat is carcinogenic. Trust these people if you want. Away you go.
It's Dr. Greger right here.
Saturated fat causes diabetes. You're bound to bring that one up. Or chicken, or some such wankery. I mean, oh, okay. I'm a shill for the meat industry. I'm being paid thousands to go on about carnivory. Yeah, I wish. Hook me up if you can find anyone to pay me. I'm a liar. I never healed myself. It's just anecdotal evidence. Yeah, I faked it. I faked everything. And I faked the stuff about my mum as well, if you find that video. And the actual photographic evidence on that, yes, I probably photoshopped that, didn't I? Okay. I'm killing people with my flesh diet advice. Yeah, well, actually, I've been fixing broken vegans. See you soon. I'm an animal rapist. I think I'd remember any episode like that, you know. Links to vegan athletes and bodybuilders. Don't you come up with hundreds of them. I've seen them all. I've seen absolutely all of them. I honestly, if they look that good, great. But that's no guarantee of being healthy inside, even if they are vegan. And they have to supplement enormously. Anyway, I'm not refuting this. It's you know, if you want to be a really, really farty bodybuilder, go ahead.
Be a really, really farty bodybuilder. Doesn't he just have the most soothing voice, guys? Phil's a good guy. He put Jessica to sleep back there. She's over there sleeping on the bed behind me. Illiberal Autist says, Okinawans ate mostly fish, a lot of it raw for that matter. As an ex-vegan, anyone who stays vegan for longer than a few months is doing it for quasi-religious reasons, IMO. Exactly, my friend. Jessica and I flirted with vegan diets back in the day. And, yeah. Totally agree, my friend. Okay, so let's see. People are getting buffering. I don't know what the problem is with that. Watch later, maybe. I don't know. Or maybe I just can't stream and I'll stop doing these streams if I'm not going to be able to. If people just complain about me buffering the whole time. Alright. So, crazy, right? Aaron, what's up, man? Aaron's throwing a... Ooh. Aaron's chucking mammons at me with $20 super chat. Will the Juve make my girlfriend hot? Right now, she is a 6. What do you think, Jessica?
Well, it can warm up the room a little bit.
If she's a six, I would say, I mean, scientifically speaking, a Juve would probably bump her up to an 8.5.
Yeah, there's something about the red light where it makes people look nicer.
For the person who's asking about the link to the video, why don't you just search the name of the video that I was just showing? Phil Ascott. He's a great dude. I'm going to have Phil on the show sometime too. If I can stream. I don't know. I'm not sure if this is working. People keep complaining about it buffering. And I'm sick of seeing the complaints about it buffering. So I'm about to end the freaking stream. All right. So. Everybody. So the Bill Nye fart tax, really interesting, right, guys? I don't know. What do you think? Do you guys think it's a good idea? So we should tax all farts? Should we all believe that, you know, exhaling, creating more carbon, that carbon is somehow bad? Crazy, right? Let's get into this a little bit more. By the way, guys, the Keto Collective starting next week. You're probably not going to see as many live streams the next month. It doesn't mean we're gone. It doesn't mean we're abandoning it. Although, I don't know, we might have streaming issues due to bandwidth or whatever's going on that people are talking about buffering issues. I'm sorry. I won't do these streams. We're going to have issues like that in the future. But next week, we are starting the Keto Collective for June. So it's last chance to sign up. Check out the Vibram ads again. I searched barefoot shoes. I was looking at one pair of barefoot shoes, and now every site I go to is giving me Vibram ads. It's crazy. what was I talking about? Oh, the Keto Collective. Last chance to sign up for the Keto Collective is now. In the Keto Collective, community coaching. We do live community coaching where we talk to you guys several times a week. We jump into the Discord server and we do live voice chat, live troubleshooting. We help you to learn how to formulate your macros and how to do this long term. Our goal with the Keto Collective is to make you as effective and efficient at coaching yourself, and maybe even a better coach than a lot of these people online trying to sell you on their bullshit coaching programs and stuff. We know there's all kinds of nonsense out there, and we try to keep it as simple as possible and give you guys as much love and as much interaction as possible in the Keto Collective. It's a way that we can handle more clients throughout the month and actually give people more time and energy. Because that is, as it is now, when I do private coaching consultations, we do one Skype meeting monthly. And then we communicate via email for the rest of the month. And this has worked well for so many people for years, but it's just so much more fun when people get to interact with each other as well. I got so many people I'm glad to know that it's not just me, because I seem to have bandwidth. So maybe afterwards you guys will be able to see this without lags and cutting in and out. But I did a 3-hour marathon stream the other day and it was fine. So anyways, I got a lot of clients where I would love to like hook people up with each other so that they could talk and share their experiences and learn from each other's experiences. And this is a way that we can do that. Wait, there's a YouTube video called Disrupt Speciesism. Oh, man. Put the link in there. Haha. Put the link for that Disrupt Speciesism. Let's watch that. But anyways, yeah, last chance to sign up for the Keto Collective. You got like 2 more days to sign up, guys. We're starting on Sunday. We want to get all the questionnaires in before I saw throttle and I got triggered and I was thinking about my carburetor. We're starting on Sunday. If you want to sign up, check out the link in the description below. And you can hit us up for the Keto Collective June session, which is going to be really, really fun. Last one was April. The next one is probably going to be August. I don't think we're going to do July. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of energy. And we spend a lot of time in the Discord server working with you guys, doing live chats, live talks with voice. And it's awesome. Okay. So, check this out. Welcome to 2030. I own nothing, have no privacy, and life has never been better. So this is from the World Economic Forum over in Davos, where a lot of these people, these highly evolved ubermensches of modern nihilism and scientism, like to get together and talk about how great they are and how bad everybody else is and how people are bad and we need to tax everybody and put everybody in smart cities so that we can control everything they think, do, and eat, and control breeding, because they believe that they are gods. And let's check out this article. This is by a woman called Ida Auken. This lady right here.
Billions of years down, we cut some trees down, do it. So that's the 4 things I'm going to take you through. First of all, what is the circular economy? The circular economy is, in a way, the opposite economy of the one we have today. Today we have very much a linear economy. We take something, we take some materials, we mine them, we take them out of the ground, we cut some trees down or something, we use them for a little while, and then we turn them into trash. That's where it ends, the line. And that is sort of a take, make, waste economy. But the circular economy is actually taking something, and already when you design it, before you take it into use, you think about its next life. So you actually design for reuse. So all materials will be circulating. And this actually eliminates waste. Do we know this concept from somewhere? I think a lot of you people working with agriculture and with food, it's pretty natural for you guys to think about the circle. Because actually that's what nature has been doing.
Obviously, there's nobody that works in agriculture in this audience. This woman has never been involved in any agriculture. This lady is a member of, was it the Belgian or Dutch? Or which country is it? Oh, no, she's the MP for the Danish party, Radikal Venstre, and the former minister of the environment. So she's a Danish international socialist who's into austerity in the smart cities. I'm going to fast forward a little bit and get to the meat of this one, because she gets in some really there's some really interesting parts of this talk that she's giving on the fake sustainability agenda.
Technical, they will be going in another circle. So I'm going to tell you how this all is going to take place, but I will first tell you why it's happening right now. So of course, I think a lot of people are here and for ethical reasons, you think it's the right thing to do, right? But, and sustainability is right. It's something about our
Now I'm loading.
Kids and the future and whatever. But you know what's a really, really strong driving force at the moment? Market, the prices, resource prices. So I've now moved.
And that's what it's really about anyways. It's about control of resources and thus control of what they consider human resources. They look at you and I as resources. They consider us cattle. They even give you numbers like cattle. Here we go. Let's listen to what Ida Auken has to say.
To the why. Why right now? So if you go back to your grandparents or your great-grandparents' time, go back to around 1900. I think it's about the time when you and I went to jazz house and danced, Rene, wasn't it? So no, go back all the way to 1900. I'm not sure jazz house was built at that time. So from 1900 till 2000, we just saw resource prices, metal, cement, water, whatever, oil, gas, coming down every year from 1900 to 2000. And most of you will remember in 2000, if your printer ran out of ink, it was more expensive to ask somebody to change the ink than to buy a new printer.
Blah, 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 blah. Resource scarcity. She's going to talk about, the prices have gone up. This artificial scarcity mentality that likes to get you have to program the populace with so that they'll buy into all this taxation schemation. Let's see.
And the biggest company of the world are just eliminating waste because it's such a big post on their budget. So it's now turning into something to the treasure. So that's the first thing, the first very big move that we see at the moment from some of the biggest businesses. So the second is remanufacturing, that you take something and that you use it again. There are different kinds of remanufacturing, so I could tell you about the
BMW. I think this is the wrong video. I had there was another video with Ida, and she's the author of this article. So anyway, she's too noxious for me to listen to right now. There were certain clips. There was a video from Aaron and Melissa at Truth Stream Media, and it's like the privacy-less. Let's look it up. Let's find their video because they find the good clips from this lady. Privacy-less. There we go.
$9 billion. Think about three.
She's a member of the Davos elite.
We are 7 billion people now on the planet. We're going up to 9 billion. Think about 3 billion people entering the middle class, all wanting cars, mobile phones, computers, eating meat. I mean, this is a huge pressure on the resources we have.
But she appears to be what I assume would be a Bernie Sanders-style socialist. But she's also hoping that people in the near future will own nothing. That's their big answer to income.
Okay. Well, I think there's a lot of commentary and stuff. But anyways, this is a great video from Aaron and Melissa at Truth Free Media. Let's fast forward to her statements here.
Your society, but you don't own anything. And
do you know how much a car drives? How much of its life? 4%. Or if you take a drill, it's used 15 minutes. It's not a lot, is it? And most of us, I know there are some guys here that really love to own a drill. But for the rest of us, we just want a hole in a wall, right? And I think we're going to a place where we just want mobility, where we don't care so much about owning a car. It's actually a bit of trouble. If you just come to driverless car and pick me up and I can drive around, and this car will be driving all the time.
Things could be taken away at a whim, but even this parliament member from Davos writes about the pitfalls. Once in a while, she writes, I get annoyed about the fact that I have no real privacy. Nowhere can I go and not be registered. I know that.
Right. Interesting, right? So here's her article, which he's actually referring to in the video. So yeah, shout out to Aaron Melissa for pointing this one out. Very, very interesting article. I highly suggest you guys read this one. Welcome to 2030. I own nothing, have no privacy, and life has never been better. Forbes magazine telling you what to think about the smart city, privacy-less future, where meat must be restricted. So this is why the title of this show is Eat Meat and Make Babies, guys. Eat meat, make babies. So really, really interesting. She starts talking about how sometimes I use my bike when I go to see some of my friends. I enjoy the exercise and the ride. It gets the soul to come along on the journey. Funny how some things never seem to lose their excitement. Blah, blah, blah. In our city, we don't pay any rent because someone else is using our free space whenever we do not need it. My living room is used for business meetings when I am not there. And that makes me so happy because I'm doing my part to not be unsustainable. Once in a while, I will choose to cook for myself. I will not just have Amazon deliver me my Soylent via drone. It is easy. The necessary kitchen equipment is delivered at my door within minutes. Since transport became free... And yeah, it's delivered to your door because you don't have any space in your coffin apartment to put it in there. Because you're living in tiny little Facebook or Google City over there in Seattle... or in Silicon Valley, and you've been trained like a dog to accept this. Since transport became free, we stopped having all these things stuffed in our home. Why keep a pasta maker, a crepe cooker, crammed into our cupboards? We can just order them when we need them. That's crazy, right? So this is the programming, guys. This is not just like he's just hating on vegans because he's mad because they hate on him. No, it's like, it's not about the diet. So it's not about the diet, it's about the ideology. It's about forcing this worldview and this ideology on other people and using force or even violence to force us into your ideology and to believe this nonsense. And if we don't believe it, to demonize people and call them extremists or Luddites. Right? Oh, if you don't want to live in the smart city, you must be a Luddite. I mean, this is some powerful propaganda, guys. So she's talking about, all the environmental problems are gone because it's all perfect now. When AI and robots took over so much of our work, we suddenly had time to eat well, sleep well, and spend time with other people. The concept of rush hour makes no sense anymore since the work that we do can be done at any time. I don't really know if I would call it work anymore. It is more like thinking time, creation time, and development time. I'm always on the clock. The AI is constantly monitoring me and making sure that my social interactions are not unsavory or unsustainable or antisocial. I'm adding some of these, by the way. Pretty wild, right? For a while, everything was turned into entertainment. People did not want to bother themselves with difficult issues. It was only at the last minute that we found out how to use all these new technologies for better purposes than just killing time. Oh, yeah, yeah. Everybody's just going to... It's going to be a utopia, right? Come on, guys. Here's the clencher. Here's where they get to what's going to be done with the useless eaters who won't allow themselves to be crowded into the smart cities and taxed for their farts. And stop eating naughty, naughty meat. And stop having babies because they're unsustainable. Right? Only approved people who've gotten their proper genetic testing from centralized control structures should be allowed to breed. Because we know their babies will be viable. The offspring will be strong. And will not have antisocial tendencies like that naughty man from Primal Edge Health used to have. My biggest concern... No, you have to do it in her voice. My biggest concern is that all the people who do not live in our city Those we lost on the way. Oh, those poor little subhumans. Those who decided that it became too much, all this technology. Those who felt obsolete and useless when robots and AI took over big parts in our jobs. Those who got upset with the political system and turned against it. Or who would turn against this beautiful political system that is taxing your children for farting? Putting Bill Nye, the science guy, and Neil deGrasse Tyson, these beautiful philanthropists on television, and Saudi princes accused of child trafficking by their ex-wives to promote veganism. Why would anybody question these things? Those who felt obsolete and useless when robots and AI took over big parts of our jobs, those who got upset with the political system and turned against it, they lived different kinds of lives outside of the city. Oh, outside of the city, we have to fear. Everything in nature is scary. Everything out there is not so, it's not fair outside of the city. They are hillbillies. They interbreed. They're hillbillies. They're inbred hillbillies outside of the cities. They live different kinds of lives outside the city. Some have formed little self-supplying communities. Others just stayed in the empty and abandoned houses in small 19th century villages. Once in a while, I get annoyed about the fact that I have no real privacy. Nowhere I can go and not be registered. I know that somewhere everything I do, think, and dream is recorded. I just hope that nobody will use it against me. Of course no one will use it against you. I mean, this is all for the greater good, right? Like, literally living in Blade Runner 2049 is sustainable development, guys. And anybody who's seen that film and who's studied Agenda 21, Agenda 2030, and who's read the nonfiction works of H.G. Wells, who openly wrote about how they were going to create this so-called Great Society, who read things like Charles Galton Darwin or the Huxleys, who've been planning this stuff as well, these other inbred degenerate eugenicists, or if you've read, there's just so much out there. Bertrand Russell openly wrote about this stuff too. I mean, all these people who are so-called great thinkers, why are they all promoting genocide? Why are all these great thinkers giving Nobel Prizes talking about killing off all the population to save the planet? All right, so all in all, it is a good life, much better than the path we are on, where it became so clear that we could not continue the same model of growth. We had these terrible things happening, lifestyle diseases, climate change, the refugee crisis, environmental degradation, completely congested cities, water pollution, air pollution, social unrest, and unemployment. We lost way too many people before we realized we could do things differently. So there you go. This blog was written ahead of the World Economic Forum annual meeting of the Global Future Councils. Ooh. How do I get on one of these Global Future Councils? Ida Alkin is a young global leader and member of the Global Future Council on Cities and Urbanization and the World Economic Forum. So there you go, guys. Why, you know, just programming people to believe that it's good to have no privacy, to have everything controlled by outside sources, to not even cook food for yourself, never drive your own car. You don't need to even own a drill because that's just probably toxic masculinity, right? M99 says, hillbillies? Excuse me, that's my family reunion you're talking about there. Sunshine says the blonde douchebag from Rocky is literally more of a scientist than Bill Nye. Yeah. Bill Nye is an actor, guys. Bill Nye, Neil deGrasse Tyson, all these establishment media whores that get paraded around to socially engineer us, these are not scientists. These are actors. Okay. So, crazy stuff, right? What is this crap, man? Annual meeting for the Global Future Councils. Oh, what do you know? Some Saudi prince up there. Look at that. This is crazy. Do, 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 do. Washington Post. Meat is horrible. Oh. Correction. We had to redact some of this stuff, but it's... It may be delicious, but the evidence accumulating that meat, particularly red meat, is just a disaster for the environment and not so great for human beings either. So, more and more and more. UN expert calls for taxation of meat production. People could be deterred from eating meat by increasing the price, further up a supply chain, stemming rise in consumption, environmental damage. So this is what's being proposed, guys, and this is something that's very, very important. So anyways, meat. Tax on meat.
Alcohol, things have been scientifically proven to be... The notion of paying a so-called sin tax on cigarettes or alcohol, things that have been scientifically proven to be detrimental to your health, is nothing new. But the list of things that should potentially be taxed changes with each passing year. A new report by an investment group called FAIR, which advocates for better treatment of animals, argues that a tax on meat is inevitable. Our next guest, though, begs to differ. Sylvain Charlebois is the Dean of the Faculty of Management at Dalhousie University. So, Sylvain, first of all, just tell us why this group is saying that a tax is inevitable. What's their position on this?
Interesting, right?
A lot of countries considering a tax on meat as a way to combat climate change. The greenies say raising beef contributes to global warming. Jason Rusk... Purdue University professor joins us now. It's Jason Lusk, is it not? Is that the pronunciation?
That's right. Thanks, Stuart.
Yes. Okay, great. Now, you don't go for this, no tax on meat, because meat doesn't create global warming. Make your case.
Well, livestock production does contribute to greenhouse gases. The question is just really how much and to what extent.
How much? Greenhouse gases. Crazy. I like this. So here's another common meme that you'll see. Genghis Khan, he was super green, right? Why was Genghis Khan so green? Well, he killed so many people that carbon levels plummeted. So Genghis Khan, he was like the beginning of the Green Revolution, guys. Go green, kill a bunch of people like Genghis Khan. Genghis Khan been branded the greenest invader in history after his murderous conquest killed so many people that huge swaths of cultivated land returned to forests. The deaths of 40 million people meant that large areas of cultivated land grew thick once again with trees. It's a common misconception that the human impact on climate change began with the large-scale burning of coal and oil in the industrial era. Julia Pomgrats, who headed the research by the Carnegie Institute. Why Carnegie? Why Rockefeller? Why all the same names popping up? Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, UN, IMF, World Bank. Carnegie Institute's Department of Global Ecology. Global ecology, right? So these are global problems. They require global solutions. Actually, humans started to influence the environment thousands of years ago by changing the vegetation cover of the Earth's landscapes when we cleared forests for agriculture. The 700 million tons of carbon absorbed as a result of the Mongol Empire is about the same produced in a year from the global use of petrol. And they show some pictures from a movie. So, other things that are super green, the Black Death of Europe... the fall of China's Ming Dynasty, genocide and conquest of the Americas. So, yeah, I mean, these are all good things, right? This is just evolution, and it's good because it's going to stop climate change if we kill a bunch of people like Genghis Khan. This is literally what you're being told. It's being taught to kids. And the vegan movement is largely influenced by the same ideology that pushes... The people who are writing articles like this and getting together and promoting UN carbon taxes, IMF carbon taxes, World Bank taxes. Because that's going to save the world, guys. It's going to save the world from taxes, with taxes. Pretty insane. Pretty ridiculous. All right, let's see if there's any questions over here in the chat. Illiberal Autist says he probably ate a lot of soy. Yeah, Genghis Khan was raw vegan. He was super, super, what's it called? Very green. He was very, very green. Alright. Someone says, China controls the pork is in the stock exchange and importing, not all but a huge portion. Not sure what you're meaning there. Rob V says, they don't allow heathens on the global councils. Yeah, exactly. They don't allow these subhuman people on the global councils. Neil deGrasse Tyson be like, I'm going to correct an unimportant detail from a sci-fi movie on Twitter. That's science. Exactly. It's like, why do people think that these are actual authorities? M99 says, they ain't trying to save this world. They're planning on leaving it behind when shit hits the fan. Oh. Where are people going to go? There's nowhere to go, man. You really think people can live off of this planet? We can't even survive weeks in space, right? Like, we start getting bone atrophy, muscle atrophy, and our bodies and our health falls apart in space, supposedly. Tristan, did you see the link I posted of the doctor who says keto is bad? He's making a blog to deter people from keto. I mean, there's plenty of these. Dr. Greger, right? Is it this guy? Is it Dr. Greger? That's like this guy right here. He is one of the great vegan superheroes. That's the vegan Ubermensch right here, guys. Super green. There you go. Damn, looking at that picture actually makes me want to go back to a vegan diet. That looks so appetizing. That veganism's so hot right now. All right. So what else, guys? Yeah, but Star Trek told me space was a final frontier. Exactly, Star Trek. That's what we're being told, right? You're gonna live in Star Trek, and we'll help you live forever. Snake oil sales, right? Snake oil salesmen. You're gonna live forever. You're gonna have life extension technology. We're gonna upload your consciousness into the computer, and you'll be transhumanist and live forever. Same old snake oil salesman. That's been fooling people for thousands of years, guys. All right. What else you guys want to talk about? All right. We got kind of deep into some of these subjects today. We had fun the other day, too, watching vegan propaganda videos. Handlebar Mustachio says his teeth are painful to look at. That is the face of health right there, guys. That is the face of vitality. It's like, this is the guy that goes around that tells people to get vasectomies. This is people to get vasectomies. This is madness, folks. All right, so Rob V says, I love me some vegan propaganda videos. They're funny, right? They are really funny. So what else is going on out there in the crazy world? The Liberal Autist says, entertaining couple of streams. Good way to pass the time while I'm riding out the stomach flu. Right on, man. So anyways, guys, we're starting the Keto Collective on Sunday. Keto Collective for June, starting Sunday. And there's a few days left to sign up. We've probably got about 15 slots left, methinks. And most people tend to sign up on the last week because, I mean, let's face it. Who's going to sign up 3-4 weeks ahead of time for something that they're not so sure if they're really interested in? If you want more information on the Keto Collective, you can click the link down below in the bio. What else did we talk about today? We talked a little bit about organ meats, about the importance of eating some of the most neglected parts of the animal, right? So it is such a travesty that so many people are afraid to eat foods like liver, afraid to eat stuff like beef heart. When you look at the nutrient profile of beef heart, it is so much better than muscle meat. We're talking high levels of coenzyme Q10, very, very high levels of collagen, all sorts of micronutrients you don't find anywhere else in the animal. Liver is, I mean, all these vegans that love talking about superfoods, right? Like, you get your superfood. Raw kale is a superfood. You blend that raw kale up, throw it down the throat, it'll scratch your colon right clean. Superfood kale. Like, these aren't superfoods, guys. You know what a superfood is? Liver! Liver is the human superfood, right? So beef liver, incredible food. I really like sheep liver as well. I've had some goat liver recently that was just amazing too. But beef liver, it's got a little bit of a funk to it. It's got a little bit of a funky flavor. Check out Jessica's book, though. She did a really, really good job at putting together an entire section showing you how to prepare the most difficult parts, not difficult, the most important parts of the animal to eat that most of us totally forget about. The organs. Now, brain can actually be really good, too, but I don't suggest going for that first. So, Yeah, liver, heart. Get down on the liver and the heart. Any preference of organ meat between different species? Yeah, I like sheep's liver and goat's liver. Way, way better than beef liver. Illiberal artist says, my local health food store sells organic chicken hearts for like $3 a pound. Such a blessing on a budget. Liver is also pretty cheap. If you're on a budget, you can't go wrong. Exactly. How cool that the most nutrient-dense parts of the animal are also the most neglected and rejected parts of the animal. Right? Yeah, fun. One of the cool things about when the world goes crazy is that you don't have to go with it, right? So the world might be going nuts, but we don't have to go with it. So the world might be avoiding all these nutrient-dense foods, but we don't have to go with it, and we can actually benefit from that because it makes it cheaper for us. Unless, of course, these psychopathic control freaks who want to control human breeding and who believe that they are gods in their apotheosis of man philosophy, their social Darwinian, Malthusian, nonsense, self-contradictory, self-refuting philosophy. If these people get their way, these foods will be much more expensive. And they've already become much more expensive through this shittyification of our food. Through feeding cows wheat, corn, and soy that make them sick and that consolidate the food supply under these umbrella corporations like Cargill and Monsanto, who are actually feeding the cows now, right? But then they want to remove that middleman and just feed you their processed crap directly. If that side of the coin ends up falling on the table, it's not good for people like us. So we've got to push back. We have to speak the truth on this, guys. All right, all right. I only started watching your videos a month ago. Didn't realize you were so red-pilled until I watched your chats this past weekend. Do you have any good red-pill books you would recommend? I mean, look, man, don't read other people's books. Don't read other people's books. Read everything you get your hands on. But if you want to understand the ideology that I'm talking about, why not read it directly straight from the horse's mouth, right? So I would suggest, like I said earlier, reading The Club of Rome's The First Global Revolution document, also Stanford Research Institute's white paper, The Changing Images of Man. The Changing Images of Man. That's a white paper. You can find that PDF online, download it, and read that and highlight the shit out of it, because very fascinating look at social engineering. Very tongue-in-cheek, interesting document about what we're seeing today, the complete re-engineering and social restructuring and philosophical and worldview restructuring of the environment we live in now, right? I mean, there's like we're so far down this degenerate programming that just somebody getting up there and just saying something that's like mildly true and like partly obvious, like, Jordan Peterson will tell you to clean your room. Your ideology will lead to the Soviet Union. You have to clean your room. That was a terrible Jordan Peterson. Jordan Peterson impersonation. But it's like, I mean, some guy can just get up there still a so-called classical liberal, still buying into the bullshit of, globalism and the UN and, Freud. Right, and Nietzsche and Darwin, which Peterson does, but I mean, just telling people like, hey, get your shit together, take responsibility for yourself, and clean your room. It's like people are like, wow, I can't believe it. It's crazy, right? But I say go straight to the source, right? So read those documents that I just told you about. Also, I don't know. I mean, like I said, H.G. Wells's. He wrote a book called The Open Conspiracy, and this was actually kind of a call to arms for the international global revolution. So H.G. Wells, he was part of the Huxley clan. He actually grew up, he was mentored by T.H. Huxley. T.H. Huxley, who was Darwin's bulldog. Read H.G. Wells' Open Conspiracy, or what is this other nonfiction book that was really interesting? I forget what it was called. That one's fascinating. I mean, if you just want to cut straight to the chase and kind of see, like, all the plan laid out there right before your eyes from, like, 1920-something, H.G. Wells. That book, his nonfiction book, The Open Conspiracy, really interesting. Also, like, Charles Galton Darwin wrote this book, The Next Million Years. You know, he's talking about all these plans, how they're going to, you know, well, we need to give these people drugs, and we need to control all breeding, and we need to breed, like, this lower peon race, but of course we won't be modified. The, you know, they'll have the elite will be wild men because we can't be subjected to the social engineering that we're subjecting these people to, because we are becoming natural selection and becoming gods. You can read that book, The Next Million Years. Very interesting one. What else? Like Bertrand Russell, another genocidal maniac of the 20th century, called the one of the greatest logicians of the 20th century, member of the Royal Society, advocate of sterilization of the weak, advocate of mass genocide and depopulation, and population control and dysgenics. So, yeah. Any websites you suggest for new science / information? You know, I mean, there's really no consolidated source of so-called science information. I suggest reading the studies yourself and read the studies, right? Read the actual studies and determine yourself if these are good or bad studies, right? Learning how to actually read the studies. Very, very important. And then, I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's just there's a lot of, I gave you a lot of stuff there. So, yeah. Let's see what else. Why is meditation mainstreaming? Because meditation is neutral. It's a lukewarm practice. Meditation means nothing. We're constantly meditating. Anything you do with intention is meditation. So you put it in a box, you sell it in a certain way, you make it masturbatory, and that's why it's mainstream, right? I mean, it leads nowhere. All these dead ends. And the things that really do lead us to true freedom on the inside, right? Freedom in our hearts and in our minds. Those things are demonized and they're called dangerous, right? Or backwards. Or regressive, right? Like, actually having faith in a higher power is looked on as primitive and weak. But the people who are pushing that ideology don't believe that either. That's the funny thing. You read another interesting book, which I'm reading and highlighting right now, Arthur Koestler's The Ghost in the Machine. And because I'm recommending these books, I'm not saying that I agree with these people. I'm saying you can understand the ideology, the ruling ideology, the principalities behind this stuff, if you understand how these people think and you read their books, what they openly talk about, what they're doing, and why. So, yeah, there's a lot of little clues there. Enjoy. Hugh Liu says, what about Behold a Pale Horse? I remember when I was afraid to buy that book. Because the person who told me about that book told me that you get put on a naughty list if you buy that book. It was the most stolen book in the world for a long time. Bill Cooper's To Behold a Pale Horse. That was an interesting one. He was an interesting guy. I mean, like, look, just because you read books doesn't mean that you agree with them too, right? So I recommended that book, Ghost in the Machine by Arthur Koestler. He's another genocidal maniac, but he starts out his book, the first few chapters, by actually refuting the materialist worldview that gets pushed, right? And he does a decent job of it. He makes a lot of good points, which I've been making for a while too. But he goes on, I mean, he still buys into a lot of other nonsense things and pushes that. But that's an interesting book too. So anyways, Rob says, it seems like a lot of the science websites I go to are funded by Big Pharma. Go figure. Well, yeah, go figure. Who funds the studies, right? So it's like people say the word science and they think it means like some entity, some arbiter of truth. Like you just get on TV and you say, well, scientists, all the scientists believe this. And the gaslighted, dumbed down people will believe that, right? Because the repetition is the greatest form of mind control. Okay, so Crystal says, I wanted to ask Jessica how much Lakanto to add to El Exquisito cacao to make chocolates. Tried a few times, but still bitter. Ooh, I don't know. I'm not sure. That is a bitter chocolate. Crystal, you should try it. You got to try the chocolate bars we got on our website now. The Picari chocolate bars. These are award-winning chocolate bars with zero sugar. Ecuadorian organic heirloom cacao, not consolidated, bastardized food supply seeds, just really, really good quality foods. Yeah, check out that chocolate. How much Lakanto? I'm not sure. How much Lakanto? Lakanto, guys, for those of you who don't know, Lakanto is a monk fruit extract. It's a monk fruit extract mixed with erythritol, zero glycemic sweetener. Really, really cool. All right. When is it best to use red light therapy? I was thinking of ordering a Juve Light. Long Beach, CA. Long Beach. Long Beach is cool. I remember cruising around Long Beach a few times. My stomping grounds of Southern California. All right, Debo. Best time to use red light therapy? Morning and evening for me. I mean, it's just any time, to be honest. Like, I like it at night because it helps me relax and sleep a little bit better. I love it in the morning because it just, I don't, I just, it just feels so good any time of the day. What I would suggest is look in the link down below, the link in the description. Let's see what it's called. There's a link in the description, what you need to know about red light therapy. Watch that interview I did with Scott from Juve. We get all into the details of red light therapy, the who, what, when, where, and why of red light therapy. Juve is an incredible product. the one that that we use is the combo unit. We use the combo unit, and it's the medium-sized one, the Juve Original. But we're going to get a Juve Max. We've been talking about it for a while, but it's like it's really expensive, the Juve Max. The Juve Original one, I think it's like 900 ducats, 900 mammon points. Those were shekels well spent, man. That was one of the best purchases we made in years. Super stoked on that Juve Max, or the Juve Original. You guys can get $25 off. Use the coupon code Primal Edge Health. So make sure to use the coupon code. But yeah, you guys check the links down below in the bio if you want to learn a little bit more about the red light therapy. So what else, guys? Rob V says that red light gives me Amsterdam flashbacks. So yeah, the reason I've got a red light bulb up there. There. I don't know what way to point. The reason I got a red light bulb up there is for the circadian rhythm. When we're exposed to artificial white light, like my computer is beaming at me right now, when we're exposed to that light, it tells us not to make melatonin, it tells us to wake up. When we are not sleeping properly, we are not burning fat properly, we are not going to be reducing inflammation, getting into that deep autophagy, which the best autophagy that we get into is at night. We burn the most body fat when we're sleeping. And if we're not sleeping enough, we're going to have elevated cortisol at the wrong time, which means we're going to have blood sugar dysregulation, insulin resistance, and one night of poor sleep can cause pre-diabetic blood glucose numbers in healthy individuals, right? So I might be healthy metabolically. I get one night of poor sleep, test my blood glucose after a meal, or just in the morning, fasting blood glucose is going to be pre-diabetic numbers. Debo says, what's a good distance to be in front of the Juve light for its full effect? 6 inches is what they say. But you can get full effect from further away. It just takes longer to penetrate the skin and get those joules, the amount of joules per square centimeter. It was a milliwatts per square centimeter of light exposure. So we get into all those details in the podcast there with Mr. Scott from Juve. Shout out to Scott. Shout out to Juve for putting out amazing products. Stuff like the Juve. These should be in every single hospital in the world. It is a criminal shame that we've got these hospitals full of artificial blue light, these fluorescent light bulbs that are like basically, they're like bioweapons, dude. Like you get those things flashing in your eyes that make you feel like you're about to have a seizure right there. It is criminal that those things are filling up the hospitals. And the food that they're giving people is ridiculous as well. So definitely look into red light therapy. And that's not a red light therapy bulb up there, guys. That's just... That's just a red light bulb. That's just a normal incandescent red bulb. Pretty cool. iOS blocked blue light blocking apps from the App Store and made their own default one, but it's not that great. It sucks. Yeah, it really sucks. That's why I use Iris. Where is Iris? All right, I'll find where you guys can find Iris. I think it's iris.tech. No, Iris... iristech.co. I was saying it was iris.co or maybe iris.tech. iristech.co. Use that program. It's $15. I think it's lifetime, $15. It's not just like $15 and you get to use it for a few months or a year. $15 for life. Great program and fantastic for circadian rhythm. It can actually block out those blue frequencies. And unfortunately, the iOS App Store has removed your ability to do that. That's kind of lame. I didn't know that. That's too bad. Cool. You can use Orange Bowl, or does that have to be red, red? Yeah, I mean, orange is better. Here's another one I've got. This is a... just a salt lamp, you know. The salt lamps are nice too. They take out that blue hue and make it look a little bit more like firelight. Christina says, Tristan, you're the man. Thank you for your generosity. Christina, thank you for your awesomeness. Christina's son has seizures and is doing a ketogenic diet to manage seizures. So in that type of situation, that is the most difficult way to implement a ketogenic diet because, first of all, ketogenic diets are not that great for children because they torture hunger. So her kid's 12 years old, and, you know, I mean, dealing with seizures constantly is obviously a stressor, but also putting a kid on a very restricted diet can be stressful as well. Christina, hopefully you enjoy some of the recipes from the book there. And, you know, I mean, I just wish you guys all the best. You know, I mean, that kid is so blessed to have a mother that loves him so much and that, you know, has enough faith to walk her own path and to not put the kid on the epileptic drugs, but to use diet to maintain that. And she said her boy's epilepsy has been in really, really good remission, and he's been doing much better with it. So, yeah, good job. It's just, it kind of breaks my heart that there's not better care for kids like this and that the pharmaceutical and medical industry is not geared towards really helping people like this. Now, another thing you might want to look into, Christina, would be red light therapy for the boy. Or like getting him in front of a red light therapy device to reduce inflammation. I mean, just laying in front of a Juve can help regenerate the body and hopefully help to reduce inflammation in the brain and systemically to avoid seizures as well. I think that red light therapy and light exposure should be something that should be further explored for neurodegenerative diseases as well as traumatic brain injuries. But yeah, Christina, you're awesome. What a blessing that your boy's got parents that have faith in what they're doing and are not just giving them over to the drugs. She says she put him on the drugs and it was just, she couldn't do it. It was changing him too much. It was wrecking his personality. And I can totally relate to that. We've all seen it. All right, what else, guys? Crystal says, been using our Juve red light therapy for my psoriasis, and it's almost gone after 10 years of having it. Are you kidding me? That's so cool. Crystal, we were talking about that when you guys were out here. That's so rad. How's your little boy? Your big little boy. Crystal's son is so big. Boy is so big. What a cool kid. All right. Yeah, Crystal and Will, shout out to you guys up there in Cape Cod. Hope to see you guys soon. A liberal autist is making an effort to get more sun every day for a few weeks. Been a huge impact. Sleep better, skin feels better, less inflammation, etc. Yes. Good job, my friend. Get out in that natural sunlight. I try to get out in the sun as often as I can as well. I do not fear the sun. Light is medicine. And red light therapy is one of the most powerful practices I've ever come about. So in the Keto Collective this month, we're going to be talking about all sorts of stuff, including red light therapy, including other ways at reducing inflammation and balancing blood sugar, like getting your circadian rhythm in line, because it's not just about diet, guys. We're far more than what we eat, right? We are made up of far more than what we eat. It's like, what are you eating in here? What are you eating through these things? What are you letting in through here? What are you putting out? It goes far beyond what we eat, guys. What's your opinion on resistance starch? Some say cooled boiled potatoes and plantains make them low carb. I think resistant starch is crap. I've seen people trash their guts with that, man. That stuff is indigestible, and a lot of people get intense dysbiosis after that. Anything that's making you farty and bloated, in my opinion, is not human food. I don't eat foods that make me fart. I don't eat foods that make me bloat. All right? Hear that? Actor Bill Nye, the science guy? Don't be taxing my farts. No existe my farts. Those vegans are going to have to pay more taxes in the future smart city dystopia Blade Runner 2049 grid. That's a crazy movie. Anybody watch the new Blade Runner reboot 2049? Basically lays out the whole smart grid, Agenda 21, or now it's Agenda 2030. Lays out that whole system right there, which is being promoted by dudes like Bill Nye, the science guy. Shill Nye. All right, guys. We talked about all sorts of cool stuff tonight. This has been a fun live stream. Thanks for joining, everybody. I think I'm going to wrap this up, unless there's any more questions. The liberal autist started surfing again. That's awesome. Notice all the surfers have perfect skin, look super healthy. Exactly, man. You got to get out in nature, get out in the real world. Move your body dynamically. Movement is medicine. Stagnation is death. I worked for a landfill. They turned methane gas into electricity that ran the entire landfill for free. Yeah, that's the thing. So it's like you get told if you're against these taxation schemes and this depopulation agenda, this overpopulation talk and all this fear-mongering, this apocalypse, the ecological apocalypse talk in the new modern religion of scientism, they don't tell you that there exist many alternate technologies that are being suppressed by the same people that are trying to push austerity and the consolidation of resources on all you. So the same people who are telling you you're bad for farting are the ones that are holding back these technologies from being released to the public and used on a big scale. There were people talking about carburetors that were getting 70 to 100 miles per gallon, 50 and 80 years ago. I've never seen one, so I don't know if they really existed. But these things have been talked about for a long time. It's suppressed. In fact, a friend of mine, his father bought a vehicle. The vehicle was getting ridiculous gas mileage. Ridiculous gas mileage. This is in Canada. The company, the car dealership, called him and said, "We made a mistake. Who gave you the wrong vehicle?" They took it back from him and gave him a different one that got normal gas mileage. Now, I don't, like, this is a friend of mine that I trust. This is not my father. This is my friend's daddy that told this story. So, I don't know. Maybe he's making up. Maybe he's a kook. But there are technologies out there that are not destructive, that are not going to pollute, and that can actually reverse a lot of this stuff. But that would go against the agenda of consolidation of power that you can read about in stuff like the Club of Rome First Global Revolution document, speaking about how humanity itself needs to be the enemy that will unite humanity. Total backwards thing. So they're talking about this document, talking about we need a global threat that needs a global solution so that we can implement global governance. Same thing H.G. Wells was writing about in the early 1920s, talking about how these world wars were necessary and they're really bad and we need to create these global governing bodies. The League of Nations was then made, but it wasn't good enough, so we needed another war, another big human sacrifice ritual. The United Nations was formed, and that hasn't really worked out as well, so we need the global threat. And the Club of Rome came up with the end of their document. They decided that the best fit was the new enemy to unite the world would have to be ecological destruction and so-called climate change. And they literally say in this document, so the enemy is humanity itself. Very, very interesting. Crystal says, I would definitely recommend a red light therapy twice a day for skin problems like mine with psoriasis was totally helpful. Awesome. My mom got a Juve Max. Shout out to my mom, who was eating meat and making babies 31 years ago. If she wasn't eating meat and making babies 31 years ago, I would not be here today, folks. So shout out to my mom for working hard at eating that meat and making those babies. I'm sorry for farting so much in my life, Mom. I know I've made a lot of methane. And I ended up making these beautiful little children, which, you know, apparently, according to all the people we were looking at today, they're bad, I guess. But, you know, I'm sorry I turned out so naughty and I farted so much in my life and created all this CO2 through talking so much and making all these beautiful babies. But thank you, Mom, for eating meat and having babies 31 years ago. Because I like being alive. And I think it's a blessing to be alive. And I think it's a blessing to be here talking to you guys. And you know, I thank God every day that I wake up and I get to do what I do. All right. So, thanks for joining, guys. I'm about to cut this out. Unless there's any more questions. Someone said the barbell is medicine. Well, sometimes. It's all about how you use it. And it's about balance. All right, everyone. Thanks for joining. You can find more at PrimalEdgeHealth.com. It is the last couple days to sign up for the Keto Collective, which is starting on Sunday. Hugh Liu's getting in on it. Hugh Liu's awesome. He's always showing up for these live events. Hugh Liu, he doesn't even need to show up to the Keto Collective. He's already been doing so well on keto for so long. He just loves us. He's a good dude. But, yep, you can sign up. Click the link below. Join in on the Keto Collective. We probably won't be streaming too much live next month because we'll be talking in the trenches with real live people, not just text scrolling on a screen. We'll be talking about how to properly formulate a ketogenic diet, how to set your macros, how to get sufficient protein, how to adjust fat according to your goal. Can anyone join the Discord? No, it is a private Discord server only for members of the Keto Collective. So we do use Discord server. We don't do Facebook groups, try to keep it out of that toxic environment of Facebook, but we do live voice chats on the Discord server several times a week. And any questions you got, if you can't make the live Discord chats, you can always send us a message. We'll answer them in the live chats when we troubleshoot and help you guys to formulate your diet and learn how to implement this long term. Because it's not a fad diet. This is something that you've got to implement long term if you want to see long term results. If you want to see long term results in anything, in your body, in your mind, in your heart, in your health, in your family life, in your intelligence, in your mental clarity, it takes work. But it's not always hard. It doesn't have to be difficult. It can be fun. And you've got to make it fun. You've got to make it fun. Do you have a just regular Discord server socially? No, we don't do that. We live life, man. We don't hang out on Discord talking all day. We do that when we're helping people for the Keto Collective. So yeah, Hugh Liu says, Tristan, talk to Jessica about how you two would pick one lucky person to join the Keto Collective. Hugh Liu. You're so funny. Hugh Liu's stoked. All right. I'm still going keto. Started 217. Haven't reverted. I won't go backwards. Hugh wants to sponsor someone to join the Keto Collective. How would we pick that? All right. Maybe on Thursday on the live stream, we'll pick somebody. But we can't do something like people beg for it. I want to hook up the lady with her son who had epilepsy. That would be cool if they would join. But email us, Hugh Liu. You're too kind, my friend. But all right, everybody. Keto Collective starting Sunday for the month of June. It's going to be 4 weeks. It's going to be awesome. So if you want to join, you can hit us up on the link down below. We talked about the cookbooks. We talked about making nutrient-dense organ meats. The Ketogenic Edge cookbook is available at PrimalEdgeHealth.com. Jessica spent so much time on this book. She spent like a year and a half making this book. And it's just freaking incredible. It's just so awesome. Hugh, shoot me an email and then we can talk about this and we can figure it out. But you guys can find more at PrimalEdgeHealth.com. Get off social media. Get off the computer. Go live your lives. Eat meat. And meat.